while they're heading out, again, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you for an amazing day yesterday with our Harvest Festival. We're actually beginning a season of thankfulness. We'll sort of introduce that today, and then we're going to, next week we'll start a series on the Book of Philippians, which is all about thankfulness, and that'll take us through, believe it or not, till Thanksgiving. You know, it's like the year is moving on, and so we'll sort of have today and Thanksgiving are kind of like bookends of this series on Philippians, where we'll be thinking about the mindful practice of thankfulness and being thankful, and that's what the title is today. It's being thankful, but in the spirit of thankfulness, I wanted to thank you for an amazing day. We had around 900 people on our property yesterday. And I didn't meet a single person that wasn't having a great time. And that is down to the way that you guys served. I mean, I think the thing that impacts me most on these events is just watching the whole community here come together and put in a lot of work, a lot of effort. Obviously, a lot of planning goes into it, but on the day, it's everybody playing their part, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. Just want to say a special big thank you, of course, to Tineke. Where is Tineke? She usually sits over here. Who did another really great job. And so it's a little bit like we're sort of, you know, the thanks to everybody is sort of being, you know, focused there on Tineke. Thank you to Tineke, but thank you to everybody. A couple of highlights, other highlights for me were our farmhouse yesterday was not an embarrassment, right? Do you notice that? You could walk around that thing. Okay, that's a reflection of the generosity of this community, because what we're doing there, we're not just investing ourselves. We raised 200 grand extra in this past financial year for not just the farmhouse, but mainly that farmhouse to renovate it. But that's investing in our local community. Because we're preserving a historical building there for our local community. I mean, if it was just about us, there might be other things we would do. But that's something that, again, had conversations with people yesterday. They really appreciate that. So that's a wonderful thing. So, you know, just so thankful for the generosity of this community and the fact that we got to do that. And then the other thing is, I was conscious that I'm not the slightest bit worried that if people from yesterday came to our church at any point, that they would have any different experience to what they had yesterday. And that is a credit to this community and the level of love and acceptance there is here. Because what we were doing yesterday was kind of no strings attached, just being kind and celebrating together. And people, you know, obviously they get that because we're not charging anything and people get to take advantage of a really wonderful day. But that's our attitude as a community, right? We just want to share God's love in a no strings attached kind of way, without conditions, just share love. And let that do its work. And I think that's what, you know, we made a huge investment in our local community yesterday, sharing what we value, what we care about, and influencing the culture around us, rather than saying, hey, you've got to come and do this thing that we're doing, church or whatever. Now, of course, we want to include more and more people in what we're doing together, right? So we would love people to come to our church. And if you're new here for whatever reason, thank you. We really treasure new people coming to our community and becoming involved and becoming part of it. But we've got to always stay focused on what we're about, right? What the intention is. And that's, I think, something that the Harvest Festival really focuses for us. It kind of epitomizes in many senses what we're about. So thank you again for a really wonderful day. As I mentioned, we're sort of moving into the season of thankfulness. And I think we all know that thankfulness is a really good thing, right? We know, for instance, I mean, we could look at some statistics that thankfulness really helps us psychologically. I mean, it even changes the chemistry of the brain. We even know where the center for the brain that controls things like gratefulness and thankfulness is. It's in the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, in your frontal lobe. And if there's nothing else you remember from this message, remember that one, right? But we could analyze it and dissect it. But I think we all get that being thankful is a really good, healthy thing. Right, we understand that. We know that it changes our mindset when we're grateful, when we stop for a moment to think about all the wonderful things that go on in our lives, as well as some of the struggles and some of the difficulties. It kind of changes our outlook. So we're not surprised when we read these scriptures. Here's a scripture from the first letter to the Thessalonians. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Anybody kind of keep up with that standard? right? It's a tricky standard to keep up with. In a more modern translation, it says this. I think this is even more challenging. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens, right? So that's, even though we know thankfulness is a really great thing, even though it's a positive thing, something that we all aspire to, and we would kind of resonate with that that scripture there, probably. We wouldn't want to disagree with it. It's still really challenging. And again, if you sort of look at the data, most people would say they want to be thankful, but when sort of analyzed, they're less thankful than they would like to be. So it's something we aspire to, but something we struggle with. Let me give you an example of that. A few weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, in fact, I shared a story. We were talking about experiencing God. Do you remember? And I shared a story about an experience I had on the beach this past summer down in Florida. I went to the Archie Carr National Wildlife Refuge, which is a very sort of deserted beach in Florida, which has been turned over to preservation of sea turtles. So, you know, you can get there, go down there, and we just stay in this little cabin right on the beach and watch the turtles come up nesting. It's the time of year also when some of the hatchlings are coming out and going down to the ocean at night time. One really just beautiful experience. And I shared about the fact that, you know, it was a crystal, one night, it was a crystal clear night, and the Milky Way's out, and I just felt at one with the universe. I felt like this, I had this profound, in my view, spiritual experience. And other people could describe it other ways, right? But for me, that was a very, very spiritual experience. Well, what I didn't say was that it wasn't all, as we've been saying recently, rainbows and unicorns, right? So I had some other kinds of experiences as well. Let me give you a bit more of the backstory, because I was very grateful for that experience, right? And very grateful for many things about that trip. But I'm not always so grateful. And on the way down, I drove down on my own with my dog. Lisa flew down a little bit later. She didn't have as much time available, so she flew down, met me down there, and then we drove back together. So I got to do this road trip with my dog. I love my dog, as you know. Actually, it was his birthday yesterday. And this little secret here. When we first started talking about what's the date for the Harvest Festival going to be, who's laughing? I felt, can I say I can't make that date because it's my dog's birthday? So I didn't. So we had it on the 5th, but I sort of made a bit of a fuss of him in the morning. But anyway, so I love my dog. We're driving down there, and I'm trying to get on the first day part of the journey, because it's a 2 or 3 day trip. I took 2 or 3 days. There was this particular nature center on the way down in Georgia that I wanted to stop off at, which I've been to before. It's a really great place. And I wanted to see painted buntings. Okay, we've got a picture of a painted bunting. Has anybody ever seen painted buntings, right? They are these beautiful birds. I mean, I enjoy watching birds. And so there was this one particular place where I knew I had a good chance of seeing some of them. You rarely see them up here. They're not exactly rare birds, but they're just not easy to spot. So really wanted to see a painted bunting. But the time was pressing. I had some work to do in the morning, and I didn't get away till, you know, a little late. And I get on the road, and I realize it's going to be dark by the time I get to this place. So I'm like, oh, and something a bit, oh, bummer, never mind, you know. But then I pass a sign in South Carolina for another wildlife refuge, and I'm thinking, why don't, and I passed it, and then I thought, I know, I'm going to stop off there. It's still light, the sun's going down, and I'll do a U-turn, go back, and I got out, and it was this beautiful, it was a tiny little place, but beautiful little place. And I got out and started walking the dog, and we went up to this little lake, and this painted bunting, it wasn't that one, I'd got that off the internet. I can't take pictures like that. But this painted, I was there about 2 seconds, and this painted bunting just landed on a branch and sat there for about 5 minutes, and I just watched this painted bunting. And I just felt so, what we might call blessed, so grateful, so thankful. And then I think we got another, the sun started going down, there was this little lake there. Yeah, I mean, nothing not too fantastic, but just, yeah, you know, I think there's another shot. It was just a really beautiful moment. And I set off back on the journey, I was stopping off in, you know, an I-95 hotel, set off on the journey, and I just felt so grateful, so thankful. And then I was heading down to Florida the next day, and I was thinking, and I'd really got my hopes up, my expectations, this is going to be such a great holiday, and, you know, I'm in such a great mood now, and the weather's going to be fantastic. I'd looked at the forecast, and it's just going to be, I love being on the beach, it's just going to be absolutely fantastic. And then on the first day there, this is what the weather was like, and it absolutely, I, I'm I want to say this without using a bad word. It just rained really heavily, right? It absolutely poured down. And I was in, I felt so let down. I felt so let down. Like, I was in an instant bad mood. Lisa arrived and was like, "Whoa, what's going on? You know, what's up with you?" So it's raining and this is a vacation and it's supposed to be great and it's this, that, and the other. Of course, you can see Baron, my dog, there again. He doesn't care. He doesn't have to struggle with human consciousness. All he cares about, there's a ball there. He doesn't matter what the weather is. If there's a ball, it's like, you know, I'm okay. But I was just in this foul mood. Lisa had to talk me out of it, you know, slap me out of it perhaps a little bit. But, you know, within a day, I'd gone from, oh, just, I'm so grateful for life. I'm so grateful, you know, God is good and et cetera, to a victim. And I swept past that thankfulness and I was in self-pity and victim mode immediately. And that is how fickle I am, right? That's how fickle I am. Now, the truth, and possibly, I don't want to assume anything, but possibly how fickle we all are to some degree, right? I know you're not as bad as me, but, you know, you might have experienced some of this. Now, I've got a couple more slides of this. It got even worse, right? It got even worse. And I think I had just mixed my wife a gin and tonic on the beach there when that thing came in, and it was... But... Actually, there's something beautiful about that, right? There's something really beautiful about that. You want to get inside once it starts, you know, lightning and everything. But pretty incredible. That's just a pretty poor photo with an iPhone. It looked way more dramatic than that. But what happened? Because of this rain, because of this weather pattern, we had all kinds of amazing sunsets. We had double rainbows, like I think, three days over the ocean. During the daytime, obviously. And then sunsets like this. Again, this doesn't kind of capture it, but you've seen sunsets like this before. But I mean, it's not. But there was something so beautiful, something so precious about it. Really weird lighting. I think the next one shows this a bit. Like, that's not a fake photo, you know. It's just really, because of these storm patterns and everything. So actually, I felt, ended up feeling so ashamed of my attitude, right? And I don't think shame's a good thing to feel, right? But perhaps... Maybe I just felt guilty or, like, I felt overwhelmed with how much love there is and how much good there is. And in the middle of all that, somehow I found a way to complain. Like it was raining on me, you know, and that was wrong. So I say that I struggle with gratefulness. And I think if I hadn't got out of that strop, the whole vacation, the whole experience would have been very different. And I dare say, perhaps our whole lives could be very different, depending on our mindset. And Jesus was constantly talking about mindset, right? Jesus was constantly challenging us about the way we see things, talking to us about changing our minds, reorientating our minds, changing our hearts, having a different consciousness. And we're going to read a story and just look at a couple of points from that story where Jesus talks about this issue of thankfulness and gratefulness. And Elliot's going to come up and read it to us. So. Which mic here, John? That's probably the best one for you there, I think, isn't it? So, thanks, Elliot.
Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thanks, Elliot. So, kind of simple story. Give a little bit of the background there. Jesus is traveling with his disciples towards Jerusalem. To get to Jerusalem, he has to go through Samaria. And in fact, he chooses not to. He goes around the border. It's a little bit like, you know, if you were trying to get to D.C. from Pennsylvania, you have to go through Maryland, right? Unless you want to go all the way around. Jesus is going round because there's hostility between the Samaritans, the people from Samaria, and the people from Galilee and Judea, where Jerusalem is. And that's due to sort of ethnic differences and strife and all kinds of things. Jesus is in this area where it's on the borders. There's a mixture of people there. This passage itself comes at a time in Luke's telling of the gospel, the stories about Jesus, where it's actually an unusual miracle because it's in a section where it's nearly all parables. Jesus is doing a lot of teaching and using these parabolic stories to sort of change people's minds, to give people a different insight into things. And then this miracle story is dropped in there. There's other miracles in the book of Luke, but not in this section. So this is kind of like a teaching miracle. Jesus is making a point. And in fact, at the end of that passage, you can see really he's kind of talking to this guy who's come back to be thankful, but really he's talking to the crowd. He's looking at the guy, but saying things to the audience, perhaps to us as well. And then he finally addresses the guy who's come back himself. So we've got this beautiful story, many, many really great, well-told stories in the Gospels that are put in such a succinct kind of way. And there's many things we could say about it. For instance, one of the things, the punchline really is it's the Samaritan who comes back, this foreigner, as he's described as. To us, that's not a big surprise because we know about the Good Samaritan. We know some of the background, if we've listened to these kinds of stories before about Samaritans and it's not as surprising. But that would have been a big surprise to the readers in the original day. So there's this sort of, this inclusion of people who are on the outside. Everybody's included. Everybody belongs. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you are loved. You are included. And we have the leprosy metaphor and symbol there as well. So leprosy was not necessarily leprosy, the disease we know today, but some kind of skin condition that meant people were viewed as unclean and had to be outside of the community. So they're hanging out in this like commune of 10 of them away from other people. And they cry out in a loud voice to say, hey, Jesus, help us. And they're doing that because they can't get too close, right? They're not allowed to get too close. And so again, this is about the inclusion of everybody. It doesn't matter if you're labeled a certain way or you're viewed a certain way, everybody belongs. Jesus is breaking down these barriers. It's interesting that the Samaritan comes back to Jesus. He's told to go to a priest because you have to, if you have leprosy and you're cleansed from leprosy, you have to go to a religious institution. You have to go to the priest to prove that. So this is where sort of societal laws and religious laws intersect in that day. But this one comes back to Jesus. It's like, I think what we're being told there is that Jesus is actually not just starting a new religion or trying to start a new religion, but actually redefining religion, redefining spirituality. This guy comes back to the source rather than to what is at least potentially an oppressive religious institution. And we all know that religions, like ours, can become repressive and oppressive and just institutionalized in a way that doesn't actually lead us into more of the divine life that Jesus embodied. So there's all sorts of wonderful things here. But there's this issue of thankfulness. Like, this guy is the only one out of the 10 that comes back and gives thanks. And so there's some interesting literary aspects to this story that illustrate that for us. So it says that they all cry out in a loud voice at the beginning to help, have pity on us. He's the only one who comes back and praises God in a loud voice. It's the same phrase there when he comes back. So we've got these sort of contrasts. When the 10 are healed, it says they're cleansed in the English. The Greek word there, because this is a story written in Greek, and it's interesting to think actually that Jesus didn't speak Greek as far as we know, but this is being told in Greek, so all the language is very intentional, right? We're being told this story in a very intentional way. When it says they were all cleansed, that word katharizo in the Greek means cleanse from the outside. It has a more superficial kind of meaning, which is related to a superficial organ of the body, the skin, right? They were cleansed, so they got what they wanted. They go on their way. When Jesus says to the guy, your faith has made you well, that term well is a different term to cleansed. It's the Greek word soso, which means made whole. Or it's sometimes translated saved, sometimes translated healed. It has a more holistic, even internal meaning, an internal connotation, that you've been changed from the inside out. Something has changed in your mindset, in your heart condition, in the way you view the world, in your outlook, in your consciousness. Something is different. And Jesus infers that the reason for that is his thankfulness. He's come back gratefully. He exhibits thankfulness in a very humble way. He sort of falls on the floor before Jesus. You get this impression that he's not moved on from, whoa, I'm healed, that's fantastic, and just going on with life. He's not saying, hey, painted bunting, fantastic, and then just moving on and then getting disappointed at the next thing. He's deliberately, consciously, mindfully embracing gratefulness and coming back to the source, to Jesus in this case, with a grateful, thankful heart. He's practicing thankfulness. So that's a fairly obvious point from the story, right? Nothing too sophisticated there in interpretation. There were people who were healed, but didn't express thanks. And Jesus commends this guy who comes back and expresses thankfulness. There's all sorts of other connotations there, but that's, I think, the central aspect to this. This guy practiced thankfulness. He didn't just move on. So I think the challenge is for us, as we go into this season of thankfulness, can we adopt a posture, a mindset, a consciousness of thankfulness that actually might make us whole? It's really interesting, and make us whole as in change us from the inside out. It's interesting, right after this story that Elliot read, the first words that coming out of Jesus' mouth after that are this. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, I think what this is telling us is that actually this thing called the kingdom of God, which is the central teaching of Jesus, it's everything Jesus was about. He embodied this divine life, this which is called the kingdom of God, this oneness with God. Jesus seems to be saying that's actually very subjective. You know, it's like you can't observe it here, observe it there. You can't analyze it. You can't dissect it. You can't capture it and say, this is it. And we probably try to do that a lot as religious people. But he's saying, no, it's within you. In other words, it seems like it comes from within. We've been hearing recently that we bear the divine image, right? We are in God and God is in us. So God is like this divine life in us can be honed and developed and nurtured. And it changes the way we see things. It changes the way we see the world. It changes the way we see ourselves. Changes the way we see the people around us, whether they're friends or enemies, either or. It changes the way we see life as a whole. And so this king, and so seeing the way we see is crucial. The way we see is very subjective, but that's what the kingdom of God is about. It can come from within us through this change of mindset, through this change of heart, this change of consciousness. So as we go into this season of thankfulness, and we're going to touch on this theme repeatedly as we go through the book of Philippians, we're going to sort of let some of this thankfulness well up in us. We're going to try and practice thankfulness in that, recognizing that the kingdom of God is within us, in order that it might change our consciousness, it might change our experience of God, our experience of the kingdom of God, our experience of what it means to be in God and for God to be in us, through intentional practice. This guy, the Samaritan in the story, practices thankfulness. So sort of three challenges I think we could take away from this, just real quick. Let's think about celebrating in a thankful way the things in our lives for which we can be thankful, right? It's just as simple as that. We've probably all done that from time to time. But what if we practice that more intentionally, more often? Perhaps, you know, at the end of the day, just recounting through the day and dwelling on the things that we can be thankful for. How might that change our mindset? I think we know that it will. What if we were to consciously practice that? Secondly, can we thank other people? Like, so there's an expression in the story of thankfulness, right? It's not just, walking away, I'm really grateful. Presumably the other nine were grateful, but it seems like life carried them away. You know, like, just like in the story I told, you know, I was thankful for a moment, but then life carried me away. Life's trials and tribulations and all those kinds of things. It sort of overtook me. perhaps we can stop and celebrate, but also express thankfulness. There may be people we want to especially thank and say thank you to. Thank you is such a powerful expression. It can be just polite manners, right? This could be a story about Jesus saying, excuse me, say thank you. That's clearly not what it's about, right? But saying thank you can come from the heart and can make a profound impact on somebody else. And that sort of connects to the third point, which is thankfulness is not just about ourselves, right? It's not just, thank goodness I'm okay. Or when somebody else benefits, why? What about me? You know, that's not what thankfulness is about, right? Thankfulness might be us celebrating with other people or giving thanks for something that somebody else has experienced, right? And there's that community aspect to thankfulness. As I said, we'll explore all these kinds of things over the next few weeks. But I thought just now to close our service, we could just take a moment to dwell on thankfulness, right? So we're just going to have a little contemplative moment here. And I encourage you to close your eyes. Something we do here quite a lot is just to try and center ourselves, is focus on our breathing, right? Life is going at 90 miles an hour for most of us. We have this gift in this moment of just stopping. And one thing we can do is just focus on our breathing. Just breathe in and out. You don't have to breathe fast or slow or anything. Just focus on your natural breath, your natural rhythm. And just as you breathe out, just let go of any tension you're feeling, any anxiety. And as you breathe in, just breathe in God's love. God's love is here. You are safe here. You are loved and accepted. So let's just center ourselves for a moment. And then let's just, in our minds, scan through a few things that maybe we can be thankful for and focus in on one of them. So just take a moment just to find one thing that you can be truly grateful for. Not something that you think you ought to be grateful for, but something that you are grateful for. Just find that thing. And then just sit for a moment and dwell on it and let it resonate. Let thankfulness grow. So give it some air, give it some space. Fan the flames of thankfulness. And as you let that thankfulness grow, turn your mind now to whom are you thankful? Who, not necessarily for that thing, but is there somebody you could say thank you to? Even someone you've said thank you to before. It's not about checking a box. It's about an attitude of heart. So just dwell for a moment on a person whom you would like to give thanks to, and determine to do that, to give thanks to them, to thank them at some point hereafter. Lord, we struggle with many things, and life brings all kinds of pressures. To some degree, we are weighed down by afflictions, not necessarily leprosy, but things that just hold us back, hold us down. Maybe religion can be like that for us at times. Life comes at us. But in all of it, there are things for which we can truly be thankful. Help us to embrace those. Lord, as we lean into you, change our minds, change our hearts, change our consciousness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together and we'll sing a song before we finish. Again, everybody, thanks so much for being here. A few quick announcements. Firstly, we have pumpkins left over from yesterday. I can predict the future now. So we've got some pumpkins left over. So check with Tineke. If you would like to take a pumpkin home with you, just check with her and you can grab one from the farm plot. Next week, as I mentioned, we begin a new series. It's called Joyride, A Journey Through Philippians. We'll be talking about this whole subject of thankfulness, so please come back next week. Remember, Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes. If you're new here or just have questions or want to get more connected, come and see us in the back corner over there. We'd love to meet you. We have a small gift for you. We'd really love to chat. So come and see us after the service in a couple of minutes. And then please all just feel free to stay. Connect with somebody you don't know. Chat with old friends. We've got coffee and maybe a few more donuts left. So please have fun. Okay, so if you would like a pumpkin, just head over to the farm. Okay, Tina will meet you over there. Okay, thanks so much, everybody. We're going to say this prayer together before we head out. Let's all say it together. Let us go with grateful hearts to celebrate the gift of life, to nurture the gift of friendship, and to welcome all who come our way. In everything, let us give thanks. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
his face.